Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight, and by Spotlight Branding, helping to build your internet foundation. I use Daylight as my case management tool. It organizes all my cases, clients, my calendar, to-dos, and emails all in one app that's with me on my Mac, iPhone, and iPad. I use Daylight on my own, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases, delegate tasks to each other, and see everyone's schedule, all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools I use to stay organized and increase efficiency. Visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight for free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. This episode is also brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. Visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. spotlightbranding.com/TLE, brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. Hey there. Welcome to The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, playing hurt a little bit today, trying to get through this on the tail end of a bout of bronchitis. So if I sound kind of scratchy, that's why. Today we have a great guest, Edmund Yan. Edmund is an attorney in Los Angeles who also has a business aside from his law firm. He is the creative director for Yan Media, which is a family-operated digital marketing agency that specializes in search engine optimization, along with Facebook marketing and video and content marketing, as well as web development. As I said, he's an attorney and a digital marketing expert, and he leads that company in their strategic direction and helps to manage what everybody tells me is a really first-class marketing team. His technical experience and understanding of customer needs, I think, as you'll hear in the interview, along with his passion for Web 2.0 marketing, allows him to deliver really focused marketing solutions for law firms that exhibit a very good return on investment. This is kind of a follow-up episode to last week's, where we had Yan Ruiz on, who was talking extensively about pay-per-click advertising as a marketing channel. And so we thought we'd follow up and have a discussion on the kind of sister digital marketing strategy of search engine optimization, what it is, how you can use it to your advantage to promote your law firm's website and thereby generate more clients and more revenue. So without any further drain on this scratchy voice of mine, I present to you Edmund Yan. Hey, Edmund Yan. Welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Hey, Neil. Thanks for having me.
Delighted that you could be with us today. Ed, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Yeah, so I'm a sixth-year California attorney. I've been practicing since 2011. When I started out, I was, a litigator working my way up and decided that litigation wasn't my thing. And so after about two and a half years, I started doing estate planning and probate with an estate planning firm out in Pasadena, California. And shortly after that, I opened up my own estate planning firm with absolutely no book of business. And so what that did was it forced me to not only network and build my referral source, but also learn digital marketing.
Let's talk about your networking and your referral sources to start with, and then we'll move on a little bit, get more deeply into digital marketing. So what did you do? I mean, you took a great leap of faith starting your own practice without any business to go into like a traditional office setting.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. So now you're on the hook. You got a lease to meet and you need to feed yourself. So how did you go about getting those initial clients?
Yeah. So, you know, initially the first 2 months I got pretty lucky. You know, once I left the firm, I started telling all my friends, family, colleagues, as well as, you know, people in my circle that I was opening up my own practice and I was doing wills and trust. And so the first few clients came in pretty quickly after that. You know, that's not typical for most solos that's opened up their practice initially, but I got fairly lucky. And then after that, started drying up. You know, for 2 months after that, I wasn't getting the traction that I was getting initially. And so it did concern me at the beginning. So one thing I did was I networked my butt off. So I spent, you know, 5, sometimes even 6 days a week going to different networking events, getting my name out there, going to lunch with people, grabbing coffee with people, working with financial advisors, realtors, and other professionals like me. And so I really spent the time for the first 4 or 5 months of opening up my own law firm, really networking and putting myself out there.
You know, one of our early guests on the show, Chris Berry, who did, you know, very much the same thing, was saying, you know, at that point in time, he had more time than money. And so he had to use that time to create the client base to give him the money to go forward. And he did, you know, the same thing, you know, mega networking, every event he could go to, every night of the week would try and find something to go to where he could let it be known that he was an estate planning attorney in town.
Right. And, you know, that's the best move for any person, any attorney who wants to start an estate planning practice, is by cultivating that referral network. And, you know, it's just going to continue to build and build and build. And, you know, I've been practicing on my own now for, I think this is the 3rd year. And, you know, every day there's someone calling me, you know, asking me, hey, do you do this type of law or do you handle this type of business law or transaction? And so even if you're not practicing in all areas of law, people are going to come to you. People are going to ask you for referrals. People are going to ask you for help. And so you can either refer them to other people or you can handle it yourself. So yeah, foundations of building a really good practice is really cultivating your referral network.
And I know in my own experience that when you have somebody come to you with a legal issue outside your area of practice, if you aid them in finding someone to answer their question, they're going to remember you even if they didn't retain you for their initial question. And so the next time somebody asks about, well, hey, do you know an estate planning attorney? Your name is likely to come up because they remember that you helped them find a criminal attorney if need be and that kind of thing.
That scenario happens all the time, which is why, you know, some people would only focus on a particular professional that they think might refer them cases. But with me, you know, when I go out and network, I don't really focus on, is this person going to bring me business? I really focus on building that relationship because you never know what would happen.
And you're in a pretty high or densely populated area out in Pasadena. So I imagine the competition with other attorneys is fairly significant. So you've got to work to get your name out.
Yeah, but, you know, surprisingly, it's not that difficult to get your name out. because not too many attorneys are actually doing what I did before, which is going out there all the time. You know, most attorneys, they would rely on the fact that they're an attorney and the fact that business should come regardless of what they do, which is why, you know, a lot of attorneys don't focus the time on going out to different networking events, you know, doing the marketing necessary to bring in business because of that perception that they're an attorney and therefore money and clients would come in. You know, a lot of attorneys would think that way.
Yeah, and it's another reason why there's a lot of ex-solo attorneys,
right,
former solo attorneys. But our listeners will know that in the past, we've done a lot in terms of talking with folks, successful solos, about what made them successful and what they would rather do over again and how their office is set up and what their technology configuration is. But I want to focus a little more on something that you touched on earlier, which was digital marketing. And I know we met when I was looking at and exploring some capabilities of folks who do what's called search engine optimization. So tell us a little bit how you got your feet wet in digital marketing and now what that has led to in terms of your business.
Yeah, so my first experiences with digital marketing was when I worked for two other firms. They didn't really have any digital marketing strategy or any personnel doing it. And so being the youngest attorney at the firm, they naturally, you know, asked me to step in and give them my feedback. And so what I did was, you know, I worked with their web designers. I worked with their other digital marketing, you know, professionals that they outsourced to. And I kind of learned, you know, what they did that was good and what they did that was bad. And so when I started my own practice, I didn't have the funds to pay someone, you know, $2,000-$4,000 a month to help me with digital marketing. And so I basically just jumped in and, you know, spent the time that I had to really focus on that, because I started to really understand that, you know, doing networking, getting a big referral source network is good. But at the same time, creating a digital marketing system is, I think, sometimes might be two or three times better because of the reach that you can potentially get by being online. So I really focused on, you know, putting together a marketing system that worked well for my estate planning practice.
Now, did you have a tech background or a digital marketing background, you know, in, say, undergrad or prior to your law school? Or was your first experience with that with the firms that you were initially retained by?
Yeah. So in terms of the technical aspects of marketing and doing SEO, doing, you know, content marketing and things like that, I didn't have any experience whatsoever. I didn't have a marketing background. I didn't have a tech background. I majored in political science and international studies, which had nothing to do with tech or marketing.
Right.
But, you know, with many things in life, you just learn as you go. I think, you know, some of the best ways to learn something is to really jump in and do it, which is what I did.
So then how did digital marketing take its place in with your solo practice? How did you start to implement that channel?
So in the beginning, when I started my firm, the number one thing that I wanted to do was to create a website that really spoke to my audience. I really wanted people to know who I was and why they should retain me. So I really focused on creating a website that had the content as well as the overall style and feel to really capture that target audience. So number one, you know, the website was very, very important to me. And so getting into digital marketing, that was the first step.
And did you, in creating your own website, did you use a platform? Did you code it from scratch in what we call HTML? Or did you use one of the development platforms or you know, cut and paste tools?
So when I first started building my website, it was on Squarespace. Squarespace was doing a lot of marketing back then. And they hooked me because at that point, I didn't know anything about coding. I didn't really understand WordPress, which is by far the best platform that you can build a website on. And so Squarespace was my first love, I guess. When I first used it, I was amazed because it was just drag and drop. No coding whatsoever, you know, templates that you can use and optimize and customize. So yeah, that was my first taste with building websites was with Squarespace.
And Squarespace is still a very robust platform. It can satisfy a lot of people's development needs. I know my daughter developed her website originally on using Squarespace, and there's other similar type programs or services.
That's correct. So there's Wix, for example. A lot of people use Wix, but when you compare Wix, Squarespace, and WordPress, all three together, WordPress is by far the best because number one, it's the most customizable, and number two, it's the best for SEO. There's a lot of plugins, there's a lot of features on WordPress that you just don't get with Squarespace and Wix.
So you eventually migrated to WordPress as your platform?
For my law firm website, is actually still on Squarespace.
Okay.
Believe it or not. Yeah, because what I did was I did a lot of SEO on it myself. I spent a lot of hours, a lot of months mastering SEO and really getting down to the nitty gritty. And so in terms of the structure as well as the content, that's already been laid. And so I haven't had the time these last few years to really go back and switch it to the WordPress platform. Because number one, you know, that website is already ranking very well on Google. And so people are finding my firm on a weekly basis. And so for me, you know, there's no point to migrate to WordPress at this point.
Well, there's a lot to be said for if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
But I think what I hear in your message is that if you are starting out now and you can afford the time and technical issues to that you would recommend folks use WordPress as their base platform?
I would highly recommend it. And if you don't like coding, the best thing you can do is to, you know, build your website on WordPress and use one of these page builders to help you. Two of my favorite ones. The first one is what's called a Divi builder, D-I-V-I. That one is superior, especially for law firm websites because they've got a lot of templates and it's customizable with just drag and drop features. The second builder I recommend is called Xtheme. Specifically, this one builder called Cornerstone in Xtheme that, that's very popular and it's very easy to use as well. So those are the two that I would highly recommend.
Now, in doing so, learned that the importance of having a website, of course, is what it says on it to start with. But if nobody sees it, it doesn't matter what you say on your website. Tree falls in the forest. If nobody's there, it doesn't make a sound. So SEO, search engine optimization, is one of those techniques that developers such as yourself use to get a website recognized. Tell our audience a little bit about what SEO is and how it's implemented in terms of a law firm website.
Right. So when it comes to defining SEO, I like to keep it very general because a lot of times when I go into the technicalities, attorneys and other non-SEO professionals, they would get lost. And so when it comes to SEO, I would always start with this. So imagine that your website is your virtual storefront and you want to make sure that people actually come to your virtual storefront so that they can check out your services. And, ideally they'll give you a call to schedule a consultation so that you can help them with their legal needs. So being a virtual storefront, you want to make sure that, your storefront is in front of those people. And by doing that, you need to rank high on Google, preferably on the first page of Google between spots 1 and 5, because those spots get about 80% of the organic traffic. And so when you're talking about SEO, you're talking about exposure, and not only exposure, but exposure to the people who are looking for your services. So for example, if you're an estate planner in, let's say, Los Angeles, and you want to get in front of families and parents who are looking for an estate planning attorney like yourself, and 75% of people who don't have a referral to an attorney, the first thing they do is they go on Google and they type in a keyword like estate planning attorney in Los Angeles. And so your job is to get your website on that first page, preferably the top five spots, so that people can check you out. And, you know, hopefully people will give you a and schedule a consultation. So when it comes to SEO, it's all about getting visibility, getting in front of people who are ready and willing to hire a lawyer like yourself.
And by first page of Google, you mean the first page of the results that Google returns when you hit the enter button?
That's right. So when you type in estate planning attorney, you hit enter. Your goal is to be on that first page.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. As I mentioned, I use Daylight as my case management tool, as it organizes all my cases, clients, my calendar, to-dos, emails, all in one app. And it's with me everywhere because it's on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. If I get a call from a client when I'm out of the office, I can quickly pull up the details of the case on my iPhone and then jot down some notes after the call, and it's all organized in Daylight. I use Daylight by myself on my own, but you can also use it in a team. You can track the status of cases, delegate tasks between one another, and check everyone's calendars, all without having to interrupt anyone or dig through papers. It really streams your workflow so you can work more efficiently. Managing email is a big part of how Daylight helps me. It integrates with Apple Mail, so as I'm going through my emails, I can just click and save emails to a client or to a case. That way, when I'm looking at the case details, I can see a history of all the emails with the client or any notes that I've taken and follow-ups with them all in one spot. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight. to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. In addition, I want to tell you about my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They build a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. And this helps me generate more referrals and more business for my firm. Their services are designed to help lawyers get better results out of the resources they're already investing into marketing and business development. They create an internet foundation that makes all of your marketing work better. That's because these days, almost every potential client is going to check out your web presence before they hire you. It's important that you create a strong first impression. And that's what Spotlight Branding has done for me, and they can do it for you too. So visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for our podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE. So I glossed over an important step here, and I apologize. We need to explain before we get too far down this rabbit hole that in addition to being an estate planning attorney, your experience with digital marketing has also enabled you to create another business focusing on digital marketing, correct?
That's right. So after I built my website, I did my SEO, focused on also social media marketing and content marketing, a lot of my colleagues started noticing because they would see me everywhere. So they would see me everywhere on LinkedIn. They would see me everywhere on Facebook. And they thought, wow, this is someone who's in front of people who are doing things the right way by getting the best and biggest exposure possible, which is using the internet. And so I got into many conversations with a lot of my colleagues, and eventually, some of them would reach out to me and say, hey, can you do my SEO for me? Can you build my website for me? And in the beginning, I would help out my colleagues and my friends, setting up their SEO, setting up their websites. But then eventually I'm like, wow, I can actually turn this into a business. And that's exactly what I did.
And does it primarily focus on assisting attorneys and law firms, or do you address other businesses?
Yeah, so 80% of our clients right now are law firms. So most of our clientele are attorneys. We do work with other professionals as well, such as financial advisors, realtors, and CPAs.
All right, so now we've kind of circled back. We've closed that loop. I apologize for getting that, leaving that piece out. So now we're talking about SEO and why it's important. It's important to get on the first, preferably the first page of the Google results when terms are entered in a search that fit your law firm's field of practice. What are, you know, globally kind of 20,000 foot view, what are some of the activities that you go through when you say, I'm going to do their SEO for them, or I'm going to improve their SEO search optimization scoring on their website? What are some things you do to make that happen?
Yeah, so there's two things that we focus on. The first thing is what's called on-page SEO. On-page SEO are things that we do to your website. So if you have a WordPress website, then we would lay the proper on-page SEO foundation on your WordPress website. And the second thing we do is we do a lot of off-page SEO. So for example, guest blogging on your behalf, making sure that you've got quality backlinks, which is other authoritative websites linking back to your website, saying that, you know, you're an authority in estate planning, you're an authority in personal injury law. So the whole point of SEO is to make sure that Google sees your website as an authority. The higher they see you in terms of authority and credibility, the higher they'll rank you on their search engine. So for example, you know, what we typically do is we really focus on both the on-page and off-page stuff, and we would create a timeline to let, you know, our clients know what we're going to do every step of the way.
Okay. And so when you say proper foundation on the on-page SEO, I'm guessing you mean in terms of content, headline contents, and some structural aspects of entries on the page, or am I off base there?
No, you're definitely in the right direction. So when it comes to on-page SEO, the first thing we do is we make sure that your meta tags are properly written. What that means is, for example, if you open up your homepage, you would see the title of your website in the tab section of the browser that you opened. The tab section, it's what's called the page title, and it basically gives a few words that really tells Google what this page is about. So for example, if you're a personal injury firm in San Francisco, you want to make sure that the words San Francisco and personal injury attorney are in the page title of your website, particularly the home page. Because that's one of the first things that Google looks at when they're trying to determine what your page is actually about. If Google doesn't know what your page is about, then chances are they're not going to rank you anywhere in their search engines, let alone the first or second page. And so those are some of the things that we do when it comes to the on-page stuff. The second, and I think one of the biggest and most valuable things that we do for law firms is we create high quality content. And so every week, every month, we would create blog articles. We would create landing pages that are geared towards the type of clients that our law firms are trying to target. And so when it comes to on-page SEO, it's all about your content. It's all about making sure that the meta descriptions and the meta tags are properly written, so that Google understands what your law firm is and why they should rank you higher on its search engines.
And while there are certain truisms to that have gone unchanged largely over the years, it does get to be a challenge because the algorithm that Google uses to determine those organic rankings, meaning rankings that aren't associated with paid advertising. That algorithm is frequently in flux or changing. So it presents a challenge to developers like yourself to stay on top of it.
Yeah. So Google changes. Sometimes it changes every month. Sometimes it changes every couple months. There's definitely, you know, bigger updates that they come out with every, for example, every year, every other year. And so for us to really stay on trend for in terms of what Google's doing, we're part of a mastermind group of SEO professionals in the United States. And all they do is they test things over and over and over again. And they really analyze what Google is actually doing and what strategies are working today and what strategies are not working today. And so even if you've, you know, done SEO 12 months before, things might have changed today. And so it's very important that, you know, you do it right in the beginning and that you consistently update to keep up with what Google's doing.
And one of the things we'll talk about when we get around to talking, should I do this myself or should I outsource it? That's going to be one of the primary factors, because you do have to stay on top of it. It's not something you can just do once and forget about if you want consistent results over the course of time. So really does argue for using an outside agency, but that's a little bit later for our discussion. You know, one of the things I hear from other attorneys when talking about SEO, they say, well, I tried SEO once. It didn't seem to make much difference, and it seemed to be a lot of money wasted and poured down the drain. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, that I hear that a lot from, you know, other people, other attorneys who have done SEO before, particularly attorneys that I get on the phone with who are interested in our marketing services and our marketing system. They tell us, you know, I invested $3,000 in 12 months, so $3,000 per month on SEO, and it's gotten me zero clients from month zero to month 12. You know, those stories are very common. And the way I respond to that is, when you're looking for an agency or when you're doing yourself, you've got to do it right. And, you know, one of the things that people forget is SEO is very, very technical. And when people hire an agency, for example, from India for $100 a month to do it, or an agency that, you know, doesn't have any experience with legal marketing, do their SEO, usually, you know, the results are pretty bad, because they don't have the expertise in legal SEO. Legal SEO to me is very different from a lot of other local SEO strategies. And so you really need to hire an agency, or you need to learn the proper way to do SEO for your law firm.
Yeah, I think it's not a condemnation of SEO as a marketing channel or as a strategy for improving your marketing results. Most often, it's a poorly implemented SEO program that fails to deliver. And it gives, I think, at times, the strategy a bad name.
That's right. And, you know, one thing that I need to mention to your listeners is SEO is just part of the strategy in terms of digital marketing. So as I said before, you know, SEO is all about putting your virtual storefront in the eyes of people who might be interested in your services. And so with SEO, it provides you that location and that visibility, but your website and your overall internet presence needs to stand out above, you know, your competition in order to get those calls, in order to get those new clients. So what I mean by that is, you know, we can rank you on the first page of Google, and people will, you know, come to your website on a monthly basis. But if your website is not built to impress people that you're trying to target, they're going to go next door to the next law firm that they find online, and they're going to give them a call instead. So SEO is just part of the equation of creating a really solid and very effective digital marketing strategy. And so being on the first page, you know, ranking very high on Google, doing really well on your SEO is not enough to get the calls coming. You've got to focus on, number one, you know, the website. Number two, making sure that your reputation on the internet is solid. So making sure that your Yelp account has, you know, 10 five-star reviews, making sure that you're ranked really well on Avvo, having a lot of reviews and things like that to really build that brand so that people are convinced to give you a call. Because, you know, people these days, they're smart. They don't just see your website and be like, I need to call this person. They'll research you. They'll research your other competitions. They'll size you up to other attorneys. And so you really need to stand out by having a really good online presence in addition to ranking on the first page of Google.
Well, it's really all about coherency. I mean, all the pieces have to coherently fit together. You can't just separate SEO as one strategy and evaluate it in and of itself. It has to be looked at within the context, as you said, of all the other strategies. In terms of, you know, time frame for results, you know, I think that's another question that attorneys often get hung up on when considering hiring an SEO agency. I hear them frequently say, all right, well, I'm willing to lay out the cash, but how long is this going to take before I see results? Is that something you hear a lot?
I hear that all the time. Even with attorneys who talk to me initially, they always ask me, you know, how long is this going to take? Do I get any guarantees? Those are the two, you know, biggest questions that we get before we can even close the deal. And, you know, those are very fair questions, because like we mentioned before, you know, a lot of attorneys, they spend thousands and thousands of dollars putting into SEO without seeing any results. So the way I respond to that is, number one, you know, SEO is a process. You can't expect, you know, calls to flow in within a month or even 2 months. What we typically tell our clients is it typically takes about at least 5 to 6 months to really see, you know, the calls coming in. And that's assuming that, for example, you've got a good website. Because like I said before, you know, it's a very difficult area to get into when it comes to, you know, building a good website, having a really good SEO strategy. And so typically it takes about 5 to 6 months to really see results. And the way we do it as an agency, and, you know, that this is something that I would also recommend if you're going to hire an agency to do this, is to really have a solid timeline as to what you'll do, what they'll do in month one, in month two, and in month six, and really setting expectations. So the way we do it, you know, we don't work on, let's say, 6 month or even 12 month contracts. We take it month to month. We would first, you know, provide our clients with a 6 month timeline as to, you know, what they should expect. And then every month we would provide them with a detailed explanation of what we've done, the analytics behind, you know, what we've done, and then give them an update of what we're going to do the next month. So in terms of timeline, we always tell them 5 to 6 months, and we really laid out a detailed action plan to take them from zero calls from the internet to X amount of calls that they're looking for. And we tailor our strategy based on their goals and expectations.
Well, I think that's an interesting approach. Does that stand in contrast to a lot of your peers in that space? You know, the month to month and a detailed schedule of what's going to happen in the initial few months? It seems to me that sets you apart from others.
I think, well, what I'm doing is not unique in the sense that there are other agencies that, you know, charge on a month-to-month basis, no long-term commitment. And there's also, you know, other agencies that provide this time frame and this action plan. But I know just talking to a lot of people and other business owners, not a lot of us do that.
Yeah, I can tell you my own personal experience in interviewing and talking with other SEO agencies is that what you've explained is by far not the norm. I've seen a lot more companies who are looking for, as you said, a 1-year commitment with a pretty hefty price tag up front that might decrease over time. One of them that I dealt with, you had a big number up front, and then as your results started coming in, there was less and less that needed to be done, and their fees started going down. But it's different the way you structure your arrangements. I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, and what I've seen with just interviewing other attorneys and talking to them, this is a really good setup for most attorneys, because at the end of the day, even if you have a 1-month contract, a law firm can break it at month 3 and 4. And what are you going to do? Are you going to take them to small claims court to recover that amount? So, in the end, it's really the same if you're not producing and if they feel like you're not doing the work. Because with SEO, a lot of companies, they would, take their money and basically not do any work. So for us, it's all about proving ourselves. It's all about making sure that we're actually producing for our clients and so that they're comfortable, paying us the fees that we charge.
Yeah. Well, listen, Ed, I think this has been really very helpful in understanding the role that SEO marketing in the digital space plays for law firms. I think it's a great niche. There's not a lot of folks who are serving the legal community, such as yourself, who also are attorneys. You may have some serving the legal community that have identified that as a lucrative niche, but aren't themselves attorneys. So you bring the experience of working on both sides of the fence. I think that speaks well for the future for you.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'm actually having a lot of fun. Practicing law is fun, and I still enjoy doing it. But, marketing and digital marketing and things like this is what really drives me and is what, brings me the passion to really help other law firms. And so, yeah, thank you so much for having me on the show. And, by the way, if you'd like me plug this in, we're actually going to offer your podcast listeners 50% off our services for the first month. Yeah, so that's something that I'd like to give your audience.
That's terribly generous of you. So why don't we tell our audience how they can go about reaching out to you, how they can contact you? What's the best area, the place for them to look?
So check out our website. It's called www.yanmedia.com, yanmedia.com. And you can also reach me on my email. It's edmund@yanmedia.com. And what we also do is we provide free website audits as well as free consultations for anyone who would like to see how we can help their firm.
Well, I'm hoping that a lot of our listeners take you up on that offer. It's very generous, 50% off their first month. And I think it's a great story. And it's something that, the digital age is here and the internet's not going away. And if, as attorneys, if we're not paying attention to this, we're going to get left behind. And so I think it's a great service that you offer. And I think a lot of folks would be wise to take advantage of it. So, Edmund Yan, I appreciate you being on The Law Entrepreneur, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through the Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.